If God gives you a burden, you can't get rid of it. Let's talk about it on this edition of Key Life.
Hi, that was Steve Brown, and I'm Mike Kellogg. You're listening to Key Life, practical Bible principles for daily living. Now, here with Bible in hand is Steve.
Thank you, Mike. Hope you had a great weekend, and I hope your time of worship was as celebratory as ours in the church that I attend, and I hope your pastor's sermon was as good as my pastor's sermon. Listen, if you have your Bible, open it to the book of Amos as we continue with our Old Testament survey. What we're doing on Key Life, if you're just joining us, is going through the entire Old Testament. Not line upon line and precept upon precept and verse upon verse. I don't have that much time. I'm an old guy cramming for finals. However, we are taking each of the books of the Old Testament, and we're providing some commentary booklets for you free. I'll be telling you about that later this week. And we're taking each of the books of the Old Testament, spending some time in each of those books, and I'm giving you some handles to help you understand and appreciate the Older Testament. And we're up to the book of Amos. If you were listening last Thursday, we mentioned Amos, and I introduced him just a bit to you. We're going to go into more detail this week. All right, before we study the book, let's go before the throne. Father, we're thankful that you loved us enough to write it down. Father, it would be hard to be bereft of truth that was clear and on the page and real as you've given it to us in your word. We thank you for the living word, Jesus, who died on a cross for us, for the way that word has been applied by your loving kindness and the multitude of your tender mercies to our hearts, making it real. But Father, we're glad you wrote it down too, and we praise you for that. But if you had never written it down, if you had never come, if you had never cared, you're still God and you're worthy of our worship. We worship you because you're sovereign and you're omnipotent and omnipresent and omniscient and eternal and infinite and immutable and holy and righteous and awesome and self-sufficient and good and kind and wise and patient and faithful. And gracious and merciful and kind and forgiving and gentle and generous and loving and so much more, you're worthy of our worship. Father, you know everybody who's listening to this broadcast. You know the stuff that keeps us awake at night, that brings the perspiration out on our forehead and causes our hand to tremble. Father, you know it all, and you're sufficient. Your grace is always available. Teach us to run to you, to trust you in everything without reservation or exception. And then, Father, we pray for this broadcast and for this week of broadcasts. We pray for the one who teaches that you would forgive him his sins, for they are many. We would see Jesus and him only, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We've seen, if you were listening last week, that in the Hebrew Bible, and I've said this a number of times, and frankly, you've never listened. In the Hebrew Bible, there are three sections, the Law, the Prophets, and the Writings, and the book of Amos is included in the section under the Prophets and is one of the latter prophets, the former being Joshua, Judges, Samuel, and Kings. Now, if you're using an English Bible, and most of you are, there are three sections, the historical books, the poetical books, and the prophetic books, which are divided into major and minor prophets. Amos is one of the minor prophets, not minor in the sense of being inferior, but in the sense of his book being a rather small book. And we said that the name Amos means burden or burden bearer, and I'm going to say more about that in just a little bit. I suggested that while the exact date of Amos is not certain, we can date it generally. In the first verse, he spoke of 2 years before the earthquake. Now, that would be a dead-on reason to date this book if we knew when the earthquake took place. But we don't. He says that he prophesied, verse 1, during the reigns of Uzziah, the king of the southern kingdom of Judah, and Jeroboam, the second, the king of Israel. It's obvious that Amos prophesies against great wealth and influence, and under Jeroboam there was great wealth and affluence by the middle of his reign. That would date the book of Amos and his ministry around 760 B.C., and that makes Amos, whether or not he knew them, at least a contemporary of other great men of God, Hosea and Isaiah. Now, as I've suggested, this is not the kind of book you read for your evening devotions when you need sleep. I mean, this is the firebrand. This is the man who doesn't mince words. He's mean, he's clear, and he is God's. Moyer says that there are three main themes from the prophet Amos. He speaks against crimes against humanity and says they're abhorrent to God, and God is going to get those who commit them. And then he talks about the privilege of being the people of God, but the privilege carries a very harsh judgment. It's sin against the direct revelation of God himself, and God's not happy with that. He says there's no distinction between crimes and sins. Both are against God's law. You know, you get some lawyers to say, is it legal? Of course it's legal, but is it moral? Well, Amos doesn't make that kind of distinction. If you're looking for an outline, this short outline in three parts will suffice. Judgment on everybody else, and then finally on Israel and Judah. That's 1:1 through 2:16. Have I done this for you yet? The indictment of the whole house of Jacob, that's 3:1 through 9:10. There are four condemning sermons in 3:1 through 6:14. And then there are five symbolic pictures of punishment, 7:1 through 9:10. And then it does have a happy ending. In the 9th chapter, verses 11 through 15, the blessings on God's restored Israel. We're going to talk about the remnant, and there is, but you got to look for it with a magnifying glass. There is in this book some modicum of comfort. Now, before I become a tour director and lead you on a tour through the book of Amos, lifting up my favorite verses, it is, after all, my program, and you don't get to choose yours, I get to choose mine. But before I become a tour director leading you through the book of Amos, I want to take just a few minutes today and tomorrow and to go down some side roads or give you some general observations on the book of Amos that will be helpful. And the first thing I want to point up to you is something I've already mentioned, but is really important, and that is the name Amos. It means burden or burden bearer. In Amos 7:14, then Amos answered Amaziah, I am no prophet, nor a prophet's son, but I'm a herdsman and a dresser of sycamore trees. And the Lord took me from following the flock, and the Lord said to me, go prophesy to my people Israel. Now, therefore, hear the word of the Lord. If you have ever served in the service, somebody has given you some very good advice. To wit, don't ever volunteer for anything. Because if you do, you're going to be cleaning latrines and doing stuff you don't want to do. So don't volunteer. And I would suggest that if some of you are thinking about going into full-time ministry, serving God with all of your time and making your living doing that, don't volunteer. May God make you do it. I mean, this is not the kind of job you ought to fight to get to. And some of you know I'm a professor at Reformed Theological Seminary in Orlando, and I teach a course called Theology of Ministry. Now, that course is designed to get young men and women to think clergy-esque, or to think of themselves as pastors and teachers and leaders, and to start thinking of themselves as one who has been called by God to bear a burden for God. And I tell them, look, if you're not sure, go home. If God hasn't put this burden on you, are you a fruitcake? Is there something wrong with you? If you aren't sure that God told you to do this, when you get into the battle, that's no time to stop and say, I'm not sure this is where I'm supposed to be fighting. So learn whether or not the burden is his, and if the burden is his, and he gave it to you, you're never going to be able to get rid of it, so hang tough and serve him. The old advice given by old guys to young guys going into ministry is don't go into ministry full time unless you can't do anything else. I'll tell you something. I know what that's like. Do you know that I went to a seminary, a graduate school of theology in Boston, when I didn't believe anything? You say, Steve, that's crazy. I know. But they didn't believe anything either. And I figured I could still be a reverend and didn't have to believe anything. You say, what'd you do that for? Because God gave me this burden, and I just can't get rid of it. You think about that. I'm in. Hey, are you a part of our Key Life tape and CD family? Yeah, you heard me right. We made the decision. I'm not exactly sure when it's going to start, but we're going to start including Key Life tapes in both CD and cassette tape format. And you can be a part of this family by just letting us know. Call 1-800-KEY-LIFE or Key Life Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida, 32794. Or Key Life Canada, Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, N3H5N3. Or you can email us at steve@keylife.org and ask to be a part of our Key Life tape or CD family. We'll do it for you. And they're absolutely free. These are not tapes or CDs of the broadcast. You can subscribe to those, and if you ask us, we'll tell you how. These are places where I teach the Bible at Reformed Seminary, at the Billy Graham Training Center, at a missions or Bible conference, and we send those out to you, and they keep coming as long as you want them, every 7 or 8 weeks. And while they're free, they're not really free. They cost us a mint, as does this broadcast. And if you can be a champion and help us financially, I would appreciate it. You can charge it on your MasterCard, Visa, Discover card included in your envelope. And for any contribution of any size, as a thank you, I'll send you the cassette teaching checking inside. Hey, I gotta go. Key Life is a listener-supported production of Key Life Network.